But yeah. We're not really sure. We're not very
certain. Distorted or something. Yeah. It just gets a little bit more muted or something.
Yes. So I think for people themselves, well, it's very difficult to generalize because...
I know. Yeah. Well, what's your story? Give us a little bit of your background. You went to school where?
I went to Mills College.
Uh-huh.
And I also went to St. John's College before that.
Were you born in Hong Kong?
I was born in California and moved to Hong Kong when I was 5.
All right. So you went to school here for a little while.
Right.
A local school or international?
I went to an international school.
Uh-huh. So did you grow up feeling more Chinese or Western? I know you probably hate this kind of cross-cultural questions.
Well, sort of one of those questions where you say like a six of one and a half dozen of the other, right? I feel like being Eurasian, that's how I categorize myself. It has lent me to understand the kind of arbitrariness of cultural norms that we believe that what is taught to us is a rule, is an absolute when it's not, and how much ambiguities play into our life. And I perceive more ambiguities than certainties. Mm. And I think that's what art deals in, not so much meanings, but contradictions in what people have. And I think that's another part of the identity question, is that now identity is not very simple as it was. It's far more complex and multifaceted.
Why is that? Do you think it's because we're just more intermingling in
right.
the world?
Yeah, and so I think globalization has a lot to do with it. I mean, right now, one of the blessings of this new age is that you can look like anyone and come from anywhere.
Yeah.
You can be anywhere.
True.
We're so much more accessible to each other. I mean, even just through internet or whatever.
Yeah.
You can access things that you couldn't before and learn more in a very, well, perhaps a, you can widely disperse yourself.
Mm. Yes.
So.
But does that dilute your sense of identity because you're so exposed to so many things?
Right. It can be kind of confusing. You know, it's sort of like, the self gets lost in stimulus, or the self gets lost in inclusion. There's too much
right.
to process,
right.
and it leads to a sense of fatigue. I think maybe
think?
A kind of exhaustion because people can't necessarily deal with all the information that they're constantly getting.
Mm.
So that's why I think people take in things in bites in very small quantities now. They have to.
Mm.
It's strange because we have this breadth of the world, but yet, in order not to dilute it, we have to condense it.
Mm.
I think so.
But I feel like also. When I was
right.
growing up, there was much more focus on trying to figure out who you are, maybe because there wasn't so much internet and international global,
right.
you know, social networking
right.
setup. Whereas now it seems like people are so focused and obsessed with everything outside of their worlds
yes.
that you have less time to think about who you are.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think the question is also, who are the people around you,
yeah.
and how do you adjust to that kind of the perception and that lack of control thereof? That when you're around other people, you can't control what they project onto
yes,
you.
Yes, and the influence.
Yeah, you
for better or for worse.
Yeah, you can't control your significance,
yeah.
right? And I think perhaps. What people need to do is, I think, introspection is very
mm-hmm.
important as
we
well.
Yeah. Right? Let's give a little time for our listeners to introspect, if you will.
Yes.
We'll give a quick break
sure.
and you guys think about who you are and if you know yourself. We're going to contemplate this a little bit longer after the quick break. Let me just tell the weather forecast right now. It is mainly fine and hot in the afternoon with moderate east to southeasterly winds. Hot with sunny periods for the next few days and then a few showers over the weekend. Temperature right now is 31 degrees. Relative humidity is 69%. Here's a song for you, Chloe. It's called That's Not My Name. Tings.
keep starting and keeping it together. People around gotta find something to say now. Holding back every day the same. Don't wanna be a loner. Listen to me, oh no. I never say anything at all. But with nothing to consider, they forget my name. Aim, aim, aim. They call me help. They call me Stacy. They call me her. They call me Jane.
name. I love it. It's like you want to go popping up and down with this song. Right. So I'm here with Chloe Ho talking about art and lack of identity, maybe, mm-hmm. in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that scene. I mean, look, let's hear from you. You've been here back for about a year and a half now, mm-hmm. roughly.
Yeah.
So what's the scene like anyway? I mean, where do you go and party? And what's it like?
Well,
I feel so out of touch. I feel like such an old hen. bring me back alive here, Chloe.
Well, Hong Kong's a very small place, so it's funny because everything becomes social, I think. Of course, there's the places, like, I like going to the very artsy places. Like, I recently saw a show at the Fringe Club. Uh-huh. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And there's... I try and just find other artistically minded people. So
right.
you try and find your own community. Like there's, I work in from Aberdeen. So there's a lot of different disparate groups of people coming
yes,
in and out.
Yes, an up and coming hub for a lot of things.
So it's kind of like the meatpacking district in New York,
right.
how it's being,
how
the artists are moving in. And that's exciting.
But that's a good thing, in Hong Kong, to actually see that kind of community developing.
Oh, yeah. It's great to feel like you're part of that kind of history, you know, that you actually are starting to see artists emerge from the woodwork and that Hong Kong artists are benefiting from all this art, this art scene that's happening, and because I do want to see more local artists, so it's exciting. And there's always, you know, Soho and Lan Kwai, and
it's still the same, isn't it?
It's always the same. It never changes.
There's no underground. You know, if you go to China or Taiwan, chances are you might find some kind of really cool underground place uh-huh. that people kind of hide in, it or some kind of historical, it used to be some, you know, I don't know, bomb shelter or whatever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But here it's not like that.
No,
it's pretty surface, isn't it?
It's pretty open. Yes. It's pretty public. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the surface nature of socializing.
Okay.
I mean, again, this is reflecting even the business card you gave me, and it's one of your more well-known paintings of a group of people posing, obviously, for a photo, but without their heads.
Yes, their heads have been cropped off, and so they are faceless.
I'm curious to know if these are Western or Chinese people.
Ah, well, what do you think they
are? Well, I look at the girl, and she looks Asian to me. I don't know why. Maybe I see me and her, like, you know, I have the long, dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
But the two guys seem more Western.
Yes, well, that's what excites me, because we look for these ethnic markers when we look at people,
uh-huh.
you know, but now there's a certain, what I call ethnic fluidity, in the sense that just because you have a certain color of skin or a certain color hair, that doesn't necessarily mean you're of the ethnicity that
yep.
supposedly that those features belong to. And with uses of, you know, all kind of artificial devices, it becomes a far more ambiguous to tell who is what, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being Eurasian, that's always been something that I've encountered in my life. You know, the question, what
are you?
Yeah. What are you?
It's what?
Yeah, what are you? Which is that's also the fact that it's what, right? As opposed to who, and how... sometimes that way of seeing dehumanizes people into what, right? Like, what are they? But I do think I like people to be able to see themselves, perhaps, like you just did. They can... the show was called Do You Know Me? Because mm-hmm. it asks that people acknowledge the people in the painting, the subjects of the painting.
The familiarity.
Yes.
Huh.
And identify with them. Or not, or say, like, I am like these people, or I'm not, and how we do that in life. We associate with groups of people,
right?
As with belonging through our similarities, but at the same time, we individuate ourselves through our clothing, our mannerisms, you know, what we want to say about that is uniquely us, as well as what we share in common with people. So, I've gotten that question a lot about what is the ethnicity, and I like the fact that it's unclear.
And you're not going to tell us?
No, because that's the exciting part.
That's what
I absolutely what it keeps me wanting to do these paintings
All right.
is the meaning that people bring to the work. I don't give the work meaning. People bring their own meaning to the work.
Well, I'm going to keep giving you more. Like, because I'm looking at the two guys, and one guy is like Adam's apple's pretty, in his neck area, it's quite thick. And that's definitely Western. I don't see Chinese guys with big, thick necks like that. Mm. I don't know. And I'm also seeing that one of the guys has his arm around the shoulder, which is a sort of kind of a body language that, again, is suggesting more Western influence to me, because I find that Chinese people tend to be not so touchy, as we mentioned earlier. I don't know. I mean, again, socializing with cultural influences.
No, even in body language, right?
Absolutely.
Our ethnicity, our cultural influence is shown.
Yeah.
For example, I remember one person saying, that person is definitely an American. I said, an American, because it's not only just, you know, someone who is Caucasian, but they could specify a place in America, and only, and like, they even became more specific. They said, oh, it's in New York, or something, a New York American. And I said, why? And they said, the way they hold their wine glass.
Yeah.
The way they hold their wine glass is uniquely of that place. And to me, that just was astounding.
Yes.
That people, even in the most basic ways, express their... articulate their differences and their similarities with people.
I think learning what people are through body language is a really interesting angle. Mm-hmm. I remember first coming here after university and, you know, being very American at the time, coming here and meeting very Chinese, because the entertainment field is very Chinese. Mm-hmm. I'd give them big hugs and or just sit in the MTR waiting for a friend or things like that are just, I guess, Western. They always go, guai mui, you know, the Western chick kind of thing. But then after years of being here, I see myself pulling back my body language, like, oh, this is not appropriate. He was taken by my hug. It wasn't right. It didn't like that. And you start, you know, if you have cross-cultural experiences, it makes you think about how that reflects on what you're trying to come across as.
Yes, it does. And also how we have to reassess ourselves in light of the reactions of the people around us and how they are perceiving us.
Yes.
And the same way that when we are at home, we are local, or we belong, then you have the experience of traveling abroad, you become a foreigner.
Mm.
You become someone else. And the same way you go to a party, you become someone else too. And a party is, I choose parties because they sort of exemplify that experience, the experience of becoming something else, performing oneself, in some ways impersonating oneself.
And who you think people want to see you as.
Yes, yes. It's like Cooley's Looking Glass Self. He said, I'm not what I think I am. I'm not what you think I am. I am what I think you think I am.
Yeah.
So...
Double negative, huh?
it's kind of the premise in which I make this work, because the do you know me... is the question that these surrogate people, I like to call them, these surrogate people are acknowledging, are saying, I am cognizant that you are looking at me, and I'm inviting you to try and figure me out, and try and derive whatever you can from whatever limited visual information there is.
Hmm.
So it's like a kind of a visual bite. And what I also like about about the disjointedness of the paintings is that the paintings themselves, they're diptychs, so they're two parts.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
the group, but in actuality, the
it's
canvases
separate.
Are separate. But
so wait, this one on your card with the three people is two?
It continues. It continues.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's another piece to it where a person is split in two through the panel. So the paneling represents a sort of split in perception. And also kind of subjectivity of memory. Because I think how we identity is, a lot of it is based in our own experiences, in our memory. And the problem with memory is that oftentimes it is very subjective and it's not necessarily true to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you ever have those odd experiences where you said, oh, I saw you, you were wearing a black scarf. They said, I wasn't wearing any scarf. I would do... So where does that come from?
Right.
Where does that... And it's because we... fill in the blanks from our own experience. Oh. Like, you see that female, and you fill in the blank.
You're right, with what we want to see, or what we think.
Yeah, from what we know.
Yes.
And the party is... The reason I also choose parties is because it's... I'm telling you something you already know. Uh-huh. I'm telling you something that you've lived through, that you've experienced.
Right.
So it's approachable, you know?
It's interesting that you can reflect in a certain type of... I mean, your thing is based around something very social, and it brings that element out as you as a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't think about it. You don't, you know, it doesn't have to be something forced or intellectualized.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a natural thing, like you said, because everyone's been there. Really interesting. And I like your idea of just, I mean, I said it earlier, this kind of fake floating type of superficial
right.
socializing. But
right.
if people are going to keep doing that, everything's based on this floating, how are we going to find the substance to pull us back down and anchor us?
Mm. That's, well, yes, we have to keep in mind what is real. What is real. And they said that trauma is what is not real. I mean, that if someone defined trauma as what is not, what is a kind of dislocation from what is real. So I think it's difficult to sometimes tell what's performed and what is true. And I think another part is of why we're saying that floating feeling is identity oftentimes is performed, and that requires an audience.
Mm-hmm.
That requires the affirmation of others. So, I mean, what don't we perform? I mean, if I'm thinking, we perform so many things. We perform our ethnicity and our body language,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
what we adopt, assume ourselves. We perform our gender. You know, we follow. You know, the saying, "Be a man."
Right.
We appreciate the fact that being a man, is something that you have to put effort in, be right, you exert
right.
a certain amount of you have to have a certain amount
it's
of
a consciousness
yeah
yes.
a consciousness, a self-consciousness there. Our class, our nationality, all these things are both circumstantial and what we choose to perform. So I think we have to understand that these constructs are real, but to what extent?
Yeah.
To what extent?
But how
are
many
they?
People really know who they are? Again, going to that. Well,
I'm an artist, so that answers the question.
All right,
I guess.
But what about you guys out there? Do you know who you are? I'll give you one more time to think about this. Quick, another song. This is called "Bad Photographer." So, again, Chloe, read what you will into it. Back on Quok Talk with Chloe Ho. Now, Chloe, I have this question for you because we have this up-and-coming celebration party tomorrow night, which we are going to, and you're going to come to, correct?
Yes, I
yes.
am.
Now, I'm again, the theme is what women want. So what, as for you, as a lady of international background, what do you think women want, or what do you want?
What do I want? Well, I want... I think, for me, it's very... very simple, I guess, freedom and friendship, and I guess a sense of pride in what I'm doing. I think that's what I've narrowed it down to. There are many, many things,
sure.
You know, of course, you know, you wish the weather wouldn't be so hot, you know, so things like that. But,
yeah.
But, you have to also know what you can kind of obtained. So,
Going back to the identity issues, you know, of you not knowing who you are, and maybe for women, do you think a lot of women don't know what they want?
It's hard because it's also perhaps they do know what they want, but they're afraid to pursue it, or they're even afraid to ask that question.
Yes,
because the expectation is that, you know, there's that women be sacrificial and not necessarily be open or forward in expressing their desires.
Especially in Hong Kong or Chinese culture,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm. And I think as time goes on, I think it's a maturity issue too. I think younger women have to kind of grow into themselves. And I think when you meet... a more mature woman, she knows what she wants, and
then it's too late.
Well, she knows what she wants, or she has it, you know, or at least she's on the path. She's taken steps.
Yeah,
she's
she
taken
knows.
Initiative.
Yeah, she stripped her all those other, you know, going back to the party scene of who you want people to think you are.
Right,
you've stripped those things.
Right,
you go back to your core values and what you really want in life.
Right,
it's interesting how life ticks you like that. Yeah, you're supposed to go through that muddling time when you're in the party socializing world, right?
Yes.
You're supposed to lose yourself,
mm-hmm.
figuratively and physically,
yeah,
maybe
sometimes,
and just in order to search for who you are. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important to get lost a little bit.
Yes, I think. Being open and being perceptive, and I think.
But how do you bring that perception to you? Some people, you know, is it derived from bad experiences that enrich in your ability to distinguish what's good for you or not, you know? Or do you think some people are just more perceptive by nature?
I think it's I do think mistakes are actually. Very enriching.
Yes, you learn. It becomes a challenge. You turn things around.
Right. And I think having mistakes, it does two things. It humbles you, but at the same time, it demands of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it at the same time you're being humbled, it says the mistake demands that you correct it or not make it again.
Yes, you need to confront that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being able to confront what makes you unhappy or the problems in your life, I think is a start.
Yes.
Or even to just acknowledge that they're there. But I think, yes, I mean, wisdom is usually very painfully won. You know, one has to make many mistakes,
yes.
You know, before they can be considered wise.
Well, but as an artist for yourself, I mean, you're always searching for these things in order to...
Well, it's great material.
Yes.
Yeah, mistakes are great material.
I hope you're not looking for mistakes.
Although they seem to find me. I mean, they...
Come on.
I think for me, it's like you do artworks, you make art, and sometimes they're failures. But then I look at it, I said, well, I failed better than I did the last time.
There you go.